Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Tie Down Breakdown. It's your host, Hannah Mann. On this episode of The Breakdown, I talked with Haven Medjid. I will say, I recorded this episode the week of Thanksgiving and had full intentions of bringing it to you before the NFR, but as we know, that didn't happen. So, some of the things Haven and I talked about are kind of old news, but Haven does give us a look into his 2025 season, what it took to make the NFR after battling an injury that took him out for over a month, him and his wife Shelby's horse program, all of the winning he did at the AQHA World Show and Gold Buckle Futurity, and more. This episode is brought to you by Haven and Shelby Medjid's rope of choice, the Edge from Fastback Ropes. The Edge is a four-strand calf rope made of texturized poly. The tough and durable Edge stands up in all conditions and outlasts the competition. For more information on Fastback Ropes, visit fastbackropes.com. So let's just start at the beginning. Tell me the full Haven Medjid story. What was it like being a kid in Miles City, Montana? All the things.
Oh, gosh. I guess growing up at Miles City, you know, we grew up on a ranch and grew up at the sale barn. So, I mean, we were always involved with horses and roping and chasing shit. I mean, we put all the big ranches and go Brandon and getting to hang out with your friends. I was chasing cows and getting out in the pasture and just honestly learning a lot of stuff about, you know, cattle and, you know, getting to be at the sale barn. You learn a lot more stuff about cattle buyers and, you know, different herds and stuff. So it was awesome getting to grow up there. And, you know, roping wasn't never really a priority growing up. You know, my dad always made us tend to the animals and, you know, 4-H, all that stuff kind of came first before we were allowed to go to the arena and rope. You know, my parents didn't grow up roping. Rodeo was never a priority. It was always taking care of the animals and making sure that was all tended to and, you know, kind of grew upon us, like getting to roping and stuff. He mentored me a lot, you know, growing up, and then Brent Lewis helped me once I got to college and stuff, and he fine-tuned a lot of my roping, and, you know, there's lots of people that I could list off that's helped me, but, you know, probably those two are the most that have helped me.
Who was the first one that you said you cut out there for a second, Brent Lewis?
Brett Fleming.
Okay. Take me back to your rookie year. You were in a tough rookie class with Shad and the calf roping, but then even in the all-around, you were in Stetson's rookie class too, right?
Yep.
So you won the world in the average that year, which is all obviously huge for a rookie. So give me all the details. I want to hear all the 2019 story.
Oh, gosh. I was in college in 2019. I was going to school at Tarleton State University in Stephenville. You know, prior to me buying my card in – for 2019, you know, I asked a couple people if they could help me because honestly, I was on my permit for 2 years. I didn't know a whole lot, you know, about like the rodeoing scene. And, you know, I asked some people and they told me that they'd help me and, you know, went out there and I bought my card. And honestly, I had good luck at the roping fiesta. And then we went to San Antonio, or I went to the Montana Circuit Finals. I did pretty good up there and won good money at Odessa. I'm not sure how much I had won, but I know I won 17.5 out of San Antonio my rookie year. And, you know, that was huge, you know, especially just being on my permit, not really knowing, you know, how much money you can win at the winter rodeos. And then I didn't get in Houston. I went to Kissimmee to the Ram Circuit Finals, and I was lucky enough to be able to win 25,000 out of there. And I think after the circuit finals, I had 50,000 won. And after that, I kind of went on a dry spell for a while. Through the 4th of July, I think I won like $600 through the 4th of July, everything. I didn't win nothing. Mm-hmm. I was able to win the college finals in June. But then, you know, after it was Colorado Springs that week, I guess Casper and Sheridan, I won some. I kind of finally started winning again. And then after that, I kind of went back on the tear again my rookie year and, you know, was able to win a lot of money. I think I went in second that year. And it's just crazy. Like, I went in with 119,000, and I think I had 130-some thousand this year, and barely made the NFR. And my rookie year, I went in second. It's just crazy to just see, like, I won the world with 248,000, and Riley Webb's got like 309,000 right now.
Yeah, it's just wild.
And that's awesome because, you know, rodeo needs to grow, and it's awesome that we get to rope for those opportunities. But going back to, obviously, my rookie year, going into the national finals, you know, obviously everybody has high hopes to win a gold buckle and stuff. And at that time, I probably didn't really understand all of that stuff because I've been working my butt off trying to, you know, win another gold buckle. And, you know, I was just young, dumb, and was just roping, having fun. You know, I was never tied a calf in 7 the whole week out there. I just tied them in 8. And I just know backing in on the 10th round, I was probably the most nervous I was because I'd missed the barrier kind of all week. And I knew I had to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
In order to, you know, win the average, win the world. And there was a lot of scenarios. I mean, there's lots of different things that could have, you know, went against me. And, you know, it's like God's plan. It all worked out. But, you know, I finally hit the barrier. Not saying I went fast. I tied 1 and 8 flat, and it was enough to win the average. And obviously, winning the average helps you a lot to, you know, win.
Right.
And so, I mean, that was obviously an incredible feeling to be able to win, you know, the rookie of the college finals, the average, the Ram Circuit finals, and the world championship all the same year as a rookie. You know, I've been trying to top that since I won it that year in 2019, and I've been able to win the average and set the arena record at the finals and the average record. But gosh, I'd love to win a bunch more gold buckles. It's just
right.
There's so many good ropers right now, and the competition is just tough.
Do you feel like that there was a breakthrough? Like, was there a single rodeo that you felt like was like a breakthrough your rookie year, or was it just kind of the combination of all of those things coming together before you went on the road that summer?
You know, like, I prepared, you know, the years before, and everybody prepares, but, you know, I felt like I had a good team of horses going into, you know, that was my whole goal, is to have 2 good horses going into my rookie year, because horsepower is a big thing, and if you don't have good horses out there, you're not going to succeed. So,
for sure,
you know, I knew my runs with my horses, but, you know, everything was just clicking, and it just kind of kept working the whole time. And, you know, it's just crazy to look back and look at all the things I won that year. You know, I don't know what clicked and why it clicked, but, you know, everything was clicking and it was all working.
You kind of mentioned 2023 was obviously another big year for you, especially at the finals. So kind of jumping ahead there, but you won the average, obviously, that year, and then set the arena record. Talk to me about that finals. Obviously, the arena record was cool. All of it was just cool. So talk to me about that.
Oh, in 2023, back into the NFR, like, I rode Smoke the first round, and I was, you know, I saddled both my horses, Lil Punch and Smoke, and I kept texting Shelby when she was inside, and I said, I think I should get on Punch, and she's like, well, do it if you want to, and then I'd get scared to boot him up, so I was just like, I'll just ride Smoke the first time, and then Smoke didn't do good, and I'm pretty sure Riley did good, and I was like, you know what, screw it, you know, I ain't got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to try to win a gold buckle, I got to, you know, be blasting the barrier and win the most money I possibly can, and, you know, I drew good calves that week, and I was hitting the barrier, making the best runs I possibly could, and everything was just working out. And, you know, being able to I drew that – I can't even remember the calf number that I set the arena record on, but I just knew that they tied her in 6.9 before I got her, and she was absolutely amazing. And honestly, I thought I ran through the barrier, but I blew the barrier out and had it on her so fast. And after that, she's just an amazing calf to flank and tie. And you just got to stay out of her way and get done with her.
It had to be a surreal feeling. Talk to me when you realized that you were 6'4". Kind of talk to me about that feeling.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, we've watched tapes, you know, growing up, watching all the guys time and six and stuff like that. And, you know, Cody Old's been there how many times? He's the most electric guy that's probably ever roped to the national finals. You know, when Cody Old rides in the box, everybody's on the edge of the seat because they know he's about to time in six, you know.
Right.
And so being able to tie one in, you know, 6.4 faster than anybody that's ever tied one at the national finals, you know, it is crazy. You know, I was on cloud nine. It was awesome to be able to, you know, do that, I guess, because all the best ropers in the world have been there and, you know, roped there. And, you know, it's awesome. I don't know if the record will last very long, but, you know, it's cool to say that he broke it for a little while.
For sure. Before we jump into 2025, kind of, you mentioned obviously that it's tough out there right now. Kind of talk about the evolution of calf roping from your rookie year to now. You talked a little bit about how the money's grown. But it's tough. So kind of just talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been tough out there, but it just seems like, you know, the horses have, I wouldn't say they've gotten better, but there's, you know, a handful of guys that have the right horses right now, and they're tough to get around. You know, I mean, Riley Webb, Shad Mayfield, there's lots of guys, that have good horses that are tough to get around every day in and day out. Doesn't matter if you're inside, outside, long setup, short setup, doesn't matter where you're at. There's guys that are hard to get around. And, you know, the money we get to rope for, you know, big hits like Houston and the Calgary and stuff like that, that stuff's hard to make up if you don't hit with those guys.
Sure.
So all the money we get to rope for, you know, Riley Webb's winning $309,000 regular season. That's insane. Like, that's awesome for us, you know, and I think it's just going to keep growing. You know, we got lots of rodeos stepping up more and more every single year. So it's awesome that we're able to make a living with our rope. You know, growing up, my dad would always say, you're not going to make a living with your rope. And, you know, if we joke about it now, he's the one that tells me, don't come home, stay out there. You know, there's too much money to be made, and you can't do that, you know, in Mile City right now.
Right.
And so, like, it's awesome to see all the young guys coming up. You know, wasn't too long ago, you know, Riley Webb was one of those young guys. Now he's a 2-time world champ, potential 3-time world champ going into, you know, 2025 NFR. You know, he's the guy's a machine.
Right. Talk to me about 2025. You were out for what, a month?
Yeah, I hurt myself, I think it was like May 17th or something right there. You know, I had a L5 S1 bulging disc, and you know, I feel like it'd get better, and then I tried to rope, and then I'd be pinched and locked up and couldn't move again. And you know, that went on for about a month, and finally I was up at a rodeo in Canada the first week of June, and I tried to rope, and I was locked up, and I had chiropractors trying to get me loose, and nothing was working. And I finally told Shelby, I said, I can't do it. And I went home for a week and a half and rested, felt better, flew to Nampa, roped in the first round, and I was completely locked up again. And after that I called into Mexico and seen if I could get in there, and I had to make a decision right away whether I'm, you know, going out, gonna stay in for Reno or Calgary, like all those rodeos. I mean, that was a split second decision, honestly, because I was gonna, you know, sacrifice rodeos if I didn't get turned out in time, you know, losing against my count if I was able to come back out. So I was just, you know, in that hour, I had to make a decision to turn out, you know, 30-day doctor release. I'd turn out all the biggest rodeos essentially a lot of the biggest ones you're going to get to go to over the summer, especially right. Cowboy Christmas, you know, turning out of Calgary, turning out of Colorado Springs. I mean, Cheyenne, Salinas, like all those rodeos, it was tough to make that decision, but I had to get healthy to, you know, have, be able to have an opportunity to come back out there this, you know, this summer. And, the doctors in Mexico helped me a lot. And then, Sean Scott, he helped me a bunch with, you know, he sent me workouts every day for rehab and I did them at the house. And, you know, that made such a big difference. I got my core strong and, you know, we slowly worked back into it. And I started back at Ogden and I've never been, like, probably since maybe the first calf I ran at Thomas and Mack, I haven't been that nervous to nod my head again. I probably, like, it was just, it was scary because, you know, it was like, what if, like, all those what ifs in your head, like, right. What if it pinches again and you're going right back home, you know, drove all the way out there and, you know, I ran three calves before I left and they were literally junior high practice calves because I was too scared to get going too fast. And, you know, there were strong calves at Ogden, the Jake Annams. And, you know, at that point when I backed in, you know, adrenaline just kind of set in and just kind of had to go at them. And it was a little sore for about the first 2 weeks out there. And Queen Creek Health Center helped me a bunch. They sent me a bunch of peptides to help with inflammation. And that helped me a lot, you know, being able to stay out there and, you know, not be in pain the whole time out there. And it slowly got better. And, you know, my horse and I, you know, our runs got better, you know, the more we got to rope. I mean, we went 33,000 miles in 7 weeks. I mean, we did some rodeoing, like insane rodeoing. And I rode him all but four calves. I mean, he went on more 16-hour drives, all night drives. It was some of the stupidest stuff I've ever done.
Talk to me about how much of a dogfight that was, though. Like, it had to be not only mentally taxing, but obviously you were battling physical stuff. So, I mean, it had it just been hard on you in general?
Oh, my gosh. I think the last month, you know, the first week back out there, I won 16-5. And so I was like, well, you know, that's a good start. It's the week of Spanish Ogden, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so and that went good. And the week of Dodge, I won a little bit, maybe 10,000 that week. It wasn't a bad week. And then the third week, I didn't win a dollar. And so I got really stressed that third week because it seemed like the bubble guys just won all summer long. Like, the top guys stayed winning, but it was like the middle guys, they had a bunch won once I got out there, and then it's like, there was four or five guys in there that didn't really win a whole lot for about a month, a little over a month, and, you know, they plucked along, but didn't, you know, you thought they would win a lot more, and I'm sure they did too, and, but it's just like all the bottom bubble guys were just stayed winning and just, I mean, never let off of the gas until literally the last rodeo of the year. And, you know, mentally, the last month I didn't hardly sleep because I was so stressed about missing NFR, you know, because, I mean, this obviously is my goal to make, you know, not just to make the NFR, but have a chance at a gold buckle. But, you know, my goals kind of had to get changed around. You know, I was at that point, you know, I'm not roping for a gold buckle. I'm trying to make the national finals rodeo.
Right.
At that point, I'm just trying to survive to get my seventh straight back number. And so it was a battle. Like, I had Riley Carter out here driving for me. And I mean, he was tired. Smoke was tired. I was tired. Not that I really touched the wheel, but more mentally exhausted. You know, you drive 16 hours, you get kicked, don't win nothing. Them bubble guys are passing you. And it's just, it was stressful, honestly. It's probably the most stressful summer I've ever had.
I don't doubt it in the slightest. Let's talk horses. You and Shelby have built an outstanding horse program. Kind of taking back to where it all started.
Oh, crap. We've been very blessed with a lot of amazing athletes at our place. I guess, I mean, I don't know where it all started, really. You know, Shelby had Root Beer and Anna and punch before we met, and then, you know, once we met, I got smoke, and I had Beyonce before we met and stuff, mm-hmm. and won the world on her, but now she's obviously out due to an injury, and we've retired her and let her just become a broodmare and stuff, but the horses we have now, and, you know, we have full siblings to Little Punch, two of them actually, and they're really, really good, and we have a full sibling to Anna that mare is, I think, 150,000 at the Futurities, and she's really good, and, you know, so, and we have, honestly, as of right now, probably one of the best strings we've ever had, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a client horse that's in training that gets to go to the Futurities and potentially rodeo on, or all the ones that, you know, I feel like we have an army, and it's in a couple years when, you know, the 4-year-olds or 6-year-olds, I feel like our 4-year-old class of horses right now are by far our best class of horses. And I feel like once they hit 6, we're going to have a straight up army of horses. I mean, we already got good horses, but there's a couple in there that I think that are big time difference makers that you just mm-hmm. got to let them grow up and mature now.
Have you always kind of had a knack for the horse training side of things?
Honestly, I think I like riding horses more than I like rodeoing.
Yeah.
I mean, I it's kind of a, it's a great deal, honestly, because about, you know, summertime when June, you know, middle of May hits, I'm, after the Futurities are over, I'm burned out because, you know, we're riding, you know, I usually ride 20, 25 horses a day. I've kind of cut back a lot since I hurt my back, and just ride the absolute best ones I can ride. But mm-hmm. I've always loved getting to train the horses, take the time. But being, you know, like I said, it's kind of a happy medium getting to leave and go rodeo in the summertime, freshen up them horses. We give them all a big break, and then come back in the fall and start over. And you're fresh. You're ready to ride the horses again. And, you know, want to go back at it. But I enjoy the process starting them horses, and because, you know, we got to have good horses to be able to keep doing what we're doing out there at the rodeos. If you don't have good horses, you're not going to succeed out there. And, you know, I guess I don't enjoy buying finished horses, you know, because if I train them, Shelby trains them, we know how to fix them. You know, right. If something happens out on the road, we know, you know, the foundation we put under them, and we know how to fix that, you know, that spot on them, and then go ahead with them again and keep pushing them along and having them work. You know, hopefully we have a bunch that make the NFR, and, you know, people want to buy, and it's all just, you know, everything takes time. It's a work in progress.
For sure. You kind of mentioned Beyonce a little bit. Everyone kind of has that horse that they feel like has made them. Is that Beyonce for you, or is there a different horse that you maybe had growing up that you feel like kind of kicked everything off for you?
Oh, she's by far the one that kicked everything off for me. I mean, she changed my life. Everything I have is because of that mare, you know, mm-hmm. the place I have, the horses I've been able to buy with her, you know, the embryos I've sold out of her have allowed me to buy, you know, stuff like, there's a lot of things that, you know, she's the reason why who I am today, because of, you know, all the opportunities she placed in my life and was able to win the world title and, mm-hmm. you know, college finals. You know, it sucks not having her in the trailer, but she's serving a different purpose in my life right now, raising me babies that, you know, hopefully fill her shoes one day. And, we got other good horses right now, and, you know, she doesn't owe me nothing, so that's why I didn't want to, you know, bring her back and just let her, you know, enjoy being a broodmare and, you know, taking care of babies.
Right. So, like, with her and Smoke, you've had both of them in Horse of the Year running in the past. You've always kind of made it clear that you don't, whenever you train horses, you don't always expect a Smoke or a Little Punch or a Beyonce. But when you come across one, how much more special does that make it?
Well, I mean, it's very special, and that's when I'm talking about the 4-year-old class. You know, there's a black mare in there named Bandita. She won 30-some thousand at the Futurity last week at Gold Buckle, and that's one of the most special young horses I have on the place. And then Shelby's got a couple in her string, one of them being Punch's little brother. He's an unreal freak for a 4-year-old. So it's just rewarding to, you know, have know what them good horses feel like and kind of be able to feel around in them young horses, and you'd be like, all right, this horse might have the it factor. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that these horses will make NFR horses, because, you know, they can anytime pull the plug and, you know, want to be done and not try anymore. So, you know, it's our job to, you know, bring them along slow, not push on them too much, and keep them fresh and not burn them out, because I feel like there's four in that four-year-old class that have that it factor that can make it, you know, be very influential after their maturity career to take us, you know, to winning gold buckles and taking us to the NFRs and taking us places, you know, rodeos maybe never seen.
For sure. While we're on the topic of horses, you mentioned the gold buckle, but the last week, that last couple weeks, you've been doing some straight winning between the World Show and the gold buckle. So kind of talk to me about all of that. You guys had a lot of horses out there at both of those, and had a lot of success. So.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing 10 days, you know. It was stressful leading up to it. You know, we started out at the AQHA World Show in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And I ended up fourth on a gelding I called. His registered name is the Super Black Eagle. He was reserve world champion last year. And then that was in the junior. And then the level three senior tie down, I was able to win it on Where's the Hottie. She's a hottish mare that, you know, I've had a lot of success on. I think she's won right over 200,000 with Qdata. Everything else, jackpot money. I don't know, I haven't kept track of all the money, but she's aging out this year. She's done. It was cool to be able to win the AQHA World Honor. And then I got to ride in a horse for Jeremy Barwick. His name, oh, it's a boon. He was the reserve world champion. Mm-hmm. And then Smoke was, I did probably a little, didn't do the best job of riding him in the short round. He was third, so I was able to win first, second, third there. They said I won, hold on, I can tell you exactly how much they told me. He sent me a text the other day, how much I won from the World Show. I won 61.5 out of the World Show. So it was awesome. You know, the World Show really stepped up with payouts and helping, you know, us competitors, people that are showing owners, you know, that's a lot of money that, you know, you're able to win. So it makes it worth it. You know, before, a lot of people didn't go to the World Show just because it didn't pay nothing. You just got ribbons. Mm-hmm. And we went on to the gold buckle. I showed six horses in the maturity tie down class, which is the six and under. I was able to get them all back to the short round. I think I ended up second, third, and sixth. And my best mare, she walked up. We were high call by two or three points. Where's the Hottie? She had walked up and cost winning good dollars there. But it finds out she had bad ear ticks. Obviously sucks, but
right.
They got those. But you know. And then we went to the maturity tie down. I was able to win it on Bad Boon Baby RB. And that's the black mare that I have really high hopes for.
Mm-hmm.
I had four horses in that class. They all made the short round. And I ended up first, fourth, and sixth in that class. So I think overall, the maturities in the World Show that week, I think we won right at 147,000 between wow. Shelby's. And there was a couple mistakes in there, but, you know, it's awesome to be able to, you know, I rode 10 horses and all 10 of them made the short round. And, you know, it's pretty rewarding to be able to get 10 different, totally different styles. You know, not one of them really had the same style. And it was, you know, awesome to be able to do a good job for your customers. And, you know, we have a lot of those were our horses. So, you know, the time and effort Shelby and I put in, it was very rewarding to, you know, see those horses show up and be able to show off what they have and all the work we put into them.
For sure. While we're on the topic of futurities, obviously the calf horse futurities have really taken off in the last, what, 5-6 years?
Yep.
In your program, you've talked about in the past kind of setting these horses up to go rodeo after the futurities. But it has to be nice to have the opportunities while they're young to show them at the fraternities with that much money up for grabs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I helped get the gold buckle started, and then I sold out so I could show. But, you know, all the fraternities that they're growing and we're trying to get them better, and, you know, we need more people showing up so the money can get better and stuff. But it's awesome to be able to show up to those fraternities. Like you said, the young horses get to go places, and we get to build their confidence away from home, you know, mm-hmm. not being just throwing them in the trailer, taking them all summer, you know. We get to take them, you know, to a fraternity, run four or eight calves, who knows how many times you enter them. But you get them away from home and get to put pressure on them and then bring them back home and let them relax, slow everything back down, and build that confidence up into a seasoned veteran horse that, you know, when you load up, when you leave for summer, you're not second guessing yourself, hey, is this horse going to work or not, you know?
Right.
Obviously, the scenarios are very different out on the road, you know. You got carnivals, you got all kinds of different stuff. It's a lot more controlled at the fraternities, but your horse is pretty darn seasoned by the time you do leave, you know, say when you throw them in the trailer, go rodeoing with them. But what the fraternities have done is, I think, a huge deal for the horse industry as far as calf rope, and look at the team rope, and look at all the money the team ropers get to rope for.
Mm-hmm.
Barrel racers, I mean, so there's people that don't even rodeo anymore that just go to the fraternities because they can make more money doing that, and they, you know, don't have to be gone all year. They're able to stay home with their families and, I mean, and be successful and win plenty of money and don't feel like they need to, you know, be at the national finals or being out there rodeoing all summer because they can make a good living at the fraternities. And that's awesome, because when I do slow down from rodeoing, you know, one day I love riding horses, and that's what I want to do is, you know, mm-hmm. be able to make a living with your rope still, and that's just something that I enjoy doing.
What horses are you taking to Vegas with you this year?
I'm going to take Smoke, and then I'm going to take another horse nobody's really seen a lot. One that he was an outside horse about a year and a half ago, and then we had trained him and then bought him. And his name's Skunk. His registered name is Pepe Lee Wright. He's a 15-year-old. He was a cow horse his whole life until about a year and a half ago. And he's got really, really good stuff. Punch has still got a deep flexor tear, so he's not going to get to come out till probably the American. They're hoping that that's his next place he'll get to go at. But those are the two that I'm excited to take out there this year. The calves sound like they're going to be pretty strong, and I'm excited to get to ride those horses.
7 straight NFRs. What do you feel like is the biggest lesson you've learned along the way? That's a loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of lessons, but, you know, I have nothing to lose this year at the national finals. You know, I'm not. Unless Riley Webb falls off 10 nights in a row, there's no way I can catch him for a gold buckle. But, you know, I'm roping for an average title, and, you know, I'm going out there to win as much money as possible, you know, mm-hmm. not safety enough, being safe, you know, I'm going to try to blast the barrier every single night and win as much money as possible, because I feel like, you know, if you be safe and try to safety up, especially with the position I'm in, you know, if you wait till, you know, the last four nights to get after it, well, heck, you might draw the wrong calf and not have mm-hmm. a chance of winning money. So from round one, you know, hopefully draw good, rope good, and, you know, win lots of money. That's, you know, that's my plan.